chemist, if you could, please.
Okay.
Okay, so we've got things to wrap up. Obviously, we have to remind ourselves of why we're holding exactly and everything, but then we're going to wrap up a few cases and get some results tonight. So, where we're holding. So, let's remind ourselves of two cases which were in limbo and see what's the conclusion in both these cases. You'll see there's quite a bit of a difference between the two. Now, what are the two cases? We've got the right-hand case and the left-hand case. What are the right-hand case? The right-hand case was that Ruvain has a monopoly of selling Aubaminium in France, and he decided, look, he's going to make a killing this year, and he says he wants the best quality because then he's got it in the bag. So he goes. He goes to one of the top suppliers in Eretz Yisrael, makes a deal that is extremely good for the supplier. And he doesn't mind because he's going to make lots of money himself. What's the deal? He goes to the supplier in Eretz Yisrael and says to him, look, I'm a bit new in the game. Obviously, you don't want to give me your best stock, but I'm going to offer you a deal which you're definitely going to give me the best stock. I want all your best stock, obviously a certain amount, quality, not exactly everything. And I'm willing to pay double the price for the best stock. And don't think I'm stupid because I'm going to be able to sell it at three or four times the price in France because I've got a monopoly. I'm the only guy there. I'll be able to make a killing even if I give you a huge deal, which you can't refuse. So the supplier agreed to Reuven, responded to Reuven, and he sent out, as you see in the ship. He actually shipped it out to France. He paid, Reuven paid, Reuven, what was that? Not exactly paid, put it this way. We'll see it in exactly. He paid in installments. He paid a certain upfront money, and the rest is obviously going to come out after Sukkos when he gets his money back from the customers. So he did pay a certain amount, a sum upfront, and he gets the supply to France. And it arrives in France, and then Reuven looks around and sees, he's made a bit of a mistake. He thought he was a bit had a monopoly, but this year there's new guys in the business, and he realizes there's no way he can price what he was thinking of pricing the aluminium because of the competition. Obviously, he won't price that, and no one will buy from him. And he works out that the price that he has to do it, he's going to make a loss because he paid double for the top quality, and he's can't charged that much, and he said, look, the whole thing's not worthwhile. So he decided he's going to send everything back. So he sends back the whole stock. He sends it back in two stages. The first stage comes back at 10 days before Rosh Hashanah, let's say. And the second batch of aluminium actually comes back to the supplier 2 days before Yom Tov. Now, what's going to be the halacha in such a case? Are we going to look at it as the sale was no sale? Why would we think it's not a sale? Because there's like a condition over here, meaning I'm buying it on condition that I'm the monopoly guy. I'm not the monopoly guy. The wholesale wasn't a sale. Here's your stuff back. Give me the money back. That was the obviously Reuven what he wants to claim that there was a condition, even though he didn't speak it out. And the supplier obviously doesn't want to say that, agree with that. He wants to say the sale's a sale. So that was the Shiloh on the right hand side. So we have a sale with a, so to speak, implied condition, but not actually spoken out in halakhic terms. Want to know what the halakha is there over there? Similar case on the left-hand side, which we need to discuss. A different case where we choose a different name over here not to muddle up. Shimon comes along to a supplier of goods, and he says, look, I'm buying all these goods. Give me all these goods. I can't pay you now, but I'm going to pay you in a few days. Why? What's better? I'm going to get a big loan. I'm going to give it a loan. I'll be able to pay you with the loan in a few days. So he actually takes hold of the stock. And then when he tries and gets the loan, he's denied the loan. So now he says, look, comes back. Shimon comes back to the supplier and says, look, I can't pay you. The whole deal's off. Because it was, I was only buying on condition, a spoken condition, but not spoken properly. I mean, I'm only buying if I can get the loan to pay you, because that's what you knew. So again, we have a situation, a proper sale, and it's quite understood that there's a certain, the sales dependent on certain thing. In the first case, it's dependent being a monopoly. In the second case, it's dependent on getting a loan. But it's not actually spoken out properly. We want to know whether it's a condition or not condition when we know what you mean, but you don't speak it out. So in short, before we just get to where we are, and then we'll let people speak. Shulchan Aruch says, seemingly, that there's a machlokas in such a case. Let's just read Maromokum number one, and that's where we're holding in these two cases. What's the machlokas? Just read number one, and we'll see what the machlokas is. One says, Kosev HaRabbeinu Yona, Lokeach Yayin Mechaveh, you buy wine from your friends. Api Sho'omah Datel HaHulich HaMachim Plan. He says, I'm buying wine because I'm going to take it to, let's say, Eretz Yisrael. The Hussal, and now he can't go there. He can't go to Eretz Yisrael. Let's say there's a Sege, he can't travel there. Or in this particular case, there's no reason to go to Eretz Yisrael because he was going to go to Eretz Yisrael to make a profit. Now there's no way of making a profit. So therefore, he bought it, spoke out why he's buying it, didn't put proper wording of Tanoim. What's the halacha? Hamekakayim. Since you didn't actually make a Tanai, didn't actually solidify the sale properly with a proper Tanai, even though there's implicit, is no good. The Mekakayim in the eyes of Rabbeinu Yonah. Avor Rabbeinu Chananel Kosev, Shein Chilet Bein Mochel Lekech. In such a case, there's no difference between the buyer and the seller. That we look at it as, since we know there's a Tanai, even though you didn't speak it out properly, the Tanai is a bad Tanai. It breaks the whole sale because you can't do what you implied, what you needed to do to make the sale good. So it's a proper breakup. So therefore, it seems to be where we're holding in both cases, is that where you have a proper sale, we know there's a certain condition attached to the sale, but it's not spoken out properly. In one case, monopoly, the second case, getting a loan. Is it a proper tonight which will blow up the whole sale? Machlokas, Rabbeinu Chanan or Rabbeinu Yonah. So we want to know what's the actual bottom line of the halacha in both cases when we have such a machlokas. That's where we're holding in those two cases, and that's what we want to finish off today, those two cases. Yeah, Matis, do you want to ask something?
Yeah, I just don't understand the whole question to begin with, because the fact that it's a question renders every business transaction on shaky ground, because every business transaction is entered into in the anticipation that the buyer is going to make a profit. So you're telling me if I don't end up making a profit, it was an implied condition that I'm buying it because I'm planning on making a profit.
Yeah, but if you don't say anything, even though I know you're doing the deal because of certain money reasons, but you don't say anything. So obviously you're happy to take the chance and think that the thing is going to be good for you. So obviously that's not going to affect
us. I'm not happy. Since in these cases,
he actually spoken out the purpose of the deal. And he's saying, this is what I want out of the deal. And you need to know this. You, the supply, you need to know why, even though, why should I tell you? You know why I'm telling you, because this is intrinsic for me doing this whole business with you, which is the whole implication of why me telling you, because of why I'm telling you, because I want it to be a Tanai. So therefore, even though I didn't speak it out as a proper Tanai, since I want it to be a Tanai, because I'm telling you, a stranger, some story, obviously, I'm saying it, I mean it to be intrinsic,
the whole deal,
and it actually may put the condition in the deal, and we actually say that it's Ataka Machlokas, Rabbeinu Chananu and Rabbeinu Yonah, in such a fact. When you tell irrelevant facts to the seller, implicit in that is you want the seller to understand that the deal's dependent on these relevant facts, and it's not irrelevant, it's not stump stories, it's actually part of the deal. And that's a machlokas Rabbeinu Chananu or Rabbeinu Yonah. If the buyer can do such a thing, everyone agrees the seller can do such a thing, and it's recognized as proper condition when the seller speaks in such a fashion. The machlokas is when the buyer speaks in such a fashion.
When in our case, did the buyer volunteer that he is going to get a loan or that he's going to be able to sell it at a hefty price? Or was that in response to the seller asking him how you're going to pay for this?
No, it wasn't in response. It wasn't just stubby, let's schmooze a bit. it was part of, intrinsically part of, I need to give this misinformation over to you so you understand. You understand this is what I'm getting wrong. Not some story. Not some story. It's actually, I want you to understand that this is a deal which I'm doing specifically because of this.
But did I ask you how you
maybe that's good enough to make a condition. That's Mark Locus. If a buyer can make a condition in such a fashion, it wasn't some story and schmoozing as we're doing the deal. It was part of the deal.
Was in response to the seller asking him how you're going to pay for this?
No, it wasn't in a response of the Hansa. He actually, in the case of the loan case, he actually said to him, he says, look, I'm not going to pay now. The supplier's not selling anything. The buyer's speaking the whole time. The buyer said, give me this, not paying now, 2 days, and you should know why it's 2 days, because I'm getting a loan, and that's how I'm going to pay you. Okay, so therefore, you're telling me information specifically for me to be aware that this is intrinsic for the whole deal. So maybe that makes actually a condition.
You could easily be telling me that in order to convince me to sell it to you on credit.
No. The credit was normal in this business. It's not something obscure concept of credit over here that you needed to convince me. We're not talking about the type of business where credit doesn't work. Most businesses in supply and suppliers of goods all work on credit. Everything's worked on credit. It's hardly ever heard of actually paying up front money on delivery over there. Usually everything works on credit. The shaila is 50 days, 2 months. It's always done that in credit in this supply, this goods thing. It's always done on credit. It's nothing I need to convince you.
I want to support my friend Mata Sklar. I didn't hear that he said, I'm hoping to get a loan. I think I can get a loan. I'm working on a loan. He said, I'm getting a loan.
Correct. Yeah.
At that point, the seller has no question that he, the buyer, is making a commitment.
Correct. So, but on the other hand, there's logic to say is that I'm only doing this deal because I am getting a loan. If he said, look, I hope to get a loan, so then you're basically saying, I'm doing this and I hope to be successful when I get a loan. And maybe won't, but I'm still doing this. So mean that you're actually entering the deal into a much of a sophic, and you're willing to take the sophic. Forget for the fact that the seller, the buyer, is saying, I'm getting a loan. He's making clear that this is a done deal because I'm getting a loan. That means if it's no loan, that's the end of the deal. It's not scum or something.
That's right.
In a way, it actually helps the buyer to be so sure that ends up it blows it up. Okay. So those are the two shilas, very similar shilas. Deals, done deal. Implication of a tanai by the buyer. Can the buyer implication actually make a tanai or not? Sellers, implications can. Buyers are machlokas. What's the actual bottom line law? So if you go back to Mar Makomas, we'll see. And both achronim, two different ways of looking at it, but they both come out with a halacha. It makes a bit of a difference in the cases, way that they look at it. So the Nesivus and the Kuntras Hasrekas hold a halacha like this. They hold, look, we both of them looked at a Rashba, and they found a Rashba that says an interesting chiddush, but they explain it in different ways. The chiddush of the Rashba was, when you have a proper done deal, you have a sale, then there's a condition out there that may be a condition. It could be, it's a sophic condition. In our case, it's a sophic condition because of machlokas. Is there a condition or not? So you have a done deal with a sophic condition. What's the halacha when you have a done deal and a sophic whether there's a tanai? So the Rashba says, in such a case, the deal is a deal. The condition doesn't ruin the deal if it's a sophic. But they have, the Nesivus and Kuntras Hasrekas have different ways to explain why. And it makes a bit of a difference. The Nesivus says the following words. Why is it true? Why is the Rashba saying when you've got a proper deal, sophic condition, the deal's a good deal? So it says the Nesivus, an interesting svar. The Chazon Ish also goes with this Nesivus. Interesting logic. It says like this. Atam. What's the reason behind the Rashba? Because the Rashba, the chol aton dover mechudish olav harai. Anybody who wants to change the mitzias, he wants to machadish something, He's not to say, look, we had a deal, but I want to change that and say the deal's finished. So why? Because there's a tonight out. Oh, but it's a sophic. So it says to the deceiver, what do you mean? You mean you want to change the pastors. You've got pastors as a deal, and you want to prove there's no deal. So it's upon you to bring a raya. Alav hamotzi machavera alav araya doesn't mean where the money is. Hamotzi machavera araya means the one who wants to machadish things, to introduce new things, he has to prove the point. So if you've got a proper deal and you want to say there's a tanai, you have to prove it. And if you can't prove it, then we ignore your claim and we look at it, what the pastures is. The pastures is there's a deal. So therefore, that's what the Rashba meant. When you've got a proper deal, sophic tanai, the person who wants to prove the tanai and blow up the deal, he has to bring proof. If he can't, he loses the deal. He loses the din Torah. Even if he's holding money, he loses. Because the Mitzvah Kalarah means, in this case, that we leave it with the pastures, and the one who wants the machadish rings has to prove. If he can't, he loses. So according to the Nesivos, it doesn't matter where the money is. In such a case, we have a deal. Sophic tonight, the deal's a deal, and you have to pay, even if you think, even if you're holding money, you have to pay, because you can't prove it's not a deal. So in both cases, according to the Nesivos, the deal's a good deal, and you can't break it up. The buyer can't say, well, there's maybe a tonight, because it's a machlokas. Well, you prove who the halacha is, can't prove. Okay, so the deal's a deal, you have the deal, right? Means the deal is proven as valid unless you can blow it up. You can't blow it up because it's machlokas. So the deal, it forces you to pay even if you haven't paid. So both cases, the buyer will lose. That's according to the Nesivos. However, there's a different way of understanding the Rashba, which is the Kulchus HaSfekas way of understanding Rashba. Comes along Kulchus HaSfekas and says, that's not what the Rashba meant. He meant something slightly different. Same result, but slightly different, which have ramifications in our case a bit. Says the Kutcher Sekhs the following. Kivan tznai ein oka maisalagami. Even if you have a proper condition there that no one disputes, the way it works, the condition doesn't say the sale was never a sale. It just says the sale was good until the condition wasn't fulfilled, and then it blows it up from now on. Vishamachi is the chasokam. So if you've got a sophic, if you've got a sophic, when you have a condition, that means you've got a sophic whether the deal was destroyed at a later stage. You had a deal on Sunday, you got sophic on Tuesday, whether there was a condition, got sophic on Tuesday, whether the deal was broken up at that stage. Well, I can't, at that stage, it's a sophic, so you can't blow it up because you're misopic with sophic. I normally go after the Mori Kama, normally go after whoever was the original. Here, the original is not the seller. The original is the buyer, because he's the one holding the goods. He's the one holding the goods, because that he's holding the goods on Sunday. And on Tuesday, you want to say things changed, and you can't prove it. So it's a sophic. So we leave the goods where they are. Since on Sunday to Tuesday, it was definitely in the buyer's hands, we leave it by him because he's musuk. And you can't normally go after the musuk. So therefore, hametz mechver, right? Whoever's holding the item keeps it because of a sophic. So the hametzi, in the eyes of conscious, as fakers, is not we leave it with the pastors. Hametzi means we leave it with whoever's holding it. So therefore, if you're saying it's a sophic, and you're going after who's holding it. So therefore, what's the discussion? Discussion is, in our cases, the buyer wants to break up the deal. So therefore, we say, it's a sophic. You, buyer, prove. That's according to the Simas. But according to the Shulchan Sfekas, what does the buyer want to say? The buyer wants to say, look, I don't want to pay. I don't want to, in the case of the Esrogim, I paid you some money, but I don't want to pay you the whole money. I don't want to get the money which I paid back. Okay. We leave things as they are. Where are things? The Esrogim are with the buyer, and partial money is with the seller, with the supplier, but not the whole money. The seller wants all the money. So the buyer says, Hamotzi Machaber Ovala. You prove that there was no condition. You And if you can't, then it's a sophic, and I'm not going to pay money out of my pocket unless you can prove it. So according to the Kutcher Sakers, part of the money is already by the seller, and that the seller can keep because he's holding it. But the other part of the money which the seller wants, he can't get because a sophic, a mitzvah, the buyer says, I'm not going to give you that money in such a case. There's a difference in the case of the esrogim. There's a difference between the kutchas, the srekas, and the nasivas. Whether the seller wins, according to the nasivas, the seller wins even in the esrogim, and he has to pay. According to the kutchas, the srekas, only what's paid he can keep, but what he hasn't paid, you don't keep. Mark Logan said, but in the case of the loan, what are you going to say by the loan? There's a bigger machlokas between the receivers and the, because there no money has been paid and the seller wants all the money. So according to the receivers, the seller gets all the money because that's the pashtus as a deal, you have to pay. And there the conscience takers says, all the money? Where's the money? You want money? The buyer says, no money. I'm holding money. Mochsuk, sofik, can't get any money out of me. So therefore, in the case of the loan case, then there's a much bigger machlokas in the actual results between the kutchas, the srekas, and the nasivas. So it's a machlokas, according to us, end up in machlokas in both cases, and there's a bigger machlokas in seers, in reality. There's a bigger machlokas in the case of the loan rather than the case of the esrogim. Okay?
I don't understand. You, according to the kutchas, the srekas, you said the merchandise stays by the buyer because he's the one that has it. That means he has to pay the seller for that merchandise.
And he gives it back.
Have the option to give it back. Nobody says he had the option to give it back.
Before the din Torah came, he gave it back. Before the din Torah came, he gave it back.
The seller didn't accept it.
And now what's the shayla? Do you have to pay?
Never
the din Torah is not a shayla who owns the goods. In both cases, the din Torah is, give me the money. Me, the supplier, you, the buyer, owe me money, give me money. In the case of the srogim, give me a certain amount of money because you only pay partially. In the case of the loan, give me all the money. So the din Torah is taking a place at a time. The shayla is not on the goods. The shayla is on the money.
Understand how the kutras hasfekas, though, has a bearing on the money.
Right, it's a shayla both in goods and money. Happens to be the Rashba's case and the kutras hasfekas is talking about where the buyer wants the goods. And the shayla is, does the goods go to him or not? The shayla in that case
is
a shayla of who gets the goods. Everyone wants goods, and we want to know who gets the goods, so we look up where the goods are. But in our case, the shayla is not on the goods. No one wants the goods. The shayla is money. Give me money, don't give me money. It's a shayla of money, so therefore we have to question, does money need to be paid? According to the kutcher sakers, no, whoever has the money keeps it. And according to the receivers, no, of course you have to pay it because the deal is a good deal and you keep with the pastures, you have to be keep doing the deal. So therefore, we have a big mark locus between the two on both cases. Both cases have a big mark locus.
What has it got to do with being mechudish, though, according to Kuntras Sveikos?
Nothing. Mechudish is the wording, not the Rashba, it's the wording of the receivers. He doesn't have to agree to the receivers. Look at how all the Rashba said is, all he said is that you've got a sale. Got sophic tonight, the sale is valid. Now there's a discussion why. So the Sivas said those words. Dovah Mechudesh has to prove it, otherwise, you keep it at pastures, which means the deal's a deal and force you to pay. So therefore, we don't look at the money, we don't look at the goods, we look at the deal's a deal, and therefore the consequences is you have to pay.
According
to the culture speaker, says, no, it's a sophic tuck, I don't know, sophic, and therefore you keep things where they are. Depends what you're discussing. If you're discussing goods, we keep the goods where they are. If you're discussing money, we keep the money where they are.
Okay. Well, what is the Rashba's words?
I haven't got them in front of me at the moment, okay. But I'll send it to you if you need.
So according to the culture speaker, the Rashba is posturing that it's a sophic?
Yeah. Basically, it's a sophic.
The Sivas is saying it's not a sophic.
Everyone's saying words hamotzi machverulai, but they have different ways of translating that. The Sivas means hamotzi, means the one who wants to change the pashtus. And according to the scripture speakers, it means hamotzi, means you want to move money or you want to discuss goods. Where the money and the goods are, that's where we keep the money and the goods at the time, whatever the discussion is. Yeah, so that seems to be a big machlokas. Yeah, what are we going to paskin? What are we going to paskin? So we could say it depends on basins and which basins will follow kunches the strikers, which basins goes in the receivers. We could say that, which is what we want, maybe want to imply. But maybe we can have clarity in these two cases where there won't be a machlokas. And on that, we're going to go back to Amar Makomas and see a din Torah that actually came in front of the Nesivus himself. A din Torah came in front of the Nesivus, and his logic, we'll see over there. Now, what was the din Torah? You see this picture. You see a field on the right, and you see also a field on the left. Two pictures. They're talking about the same type of field. What is this field? What's growing in this field? Something very, very important for in the times of and even nowadays, something very important to Choshev, and in this particular din Torah, it was something very important to the Melech, the king. What was the Shaila? Like this, the Melech, it was in a war. It was a war battle in Europe between two countries, and it was a king of a certain country that needs pishton. He needs flax. Very important for his war effort, flax. And therefore, there was somebody who made a contract, a government contract. Government contract came to the king, says, I can supply you all the flax that you need, all the flax that you need. The price is kachakach, which is 4 to 5 times. The Loshon of the Nesivus, it was 4 to 5 times the going rate, but he's dealing with a government contract and the government needs it desperately for the war effort. So therefore, 4 to 5 times, even the king agrees. He's got the money and he's going to waste it because of his war effort. He makes, he signs the contract. So now, comes along Reuven, is a Jewish guy who made this good deal with the government contract. Comes along Reuven to all different suppliers. Obviously, he hasn't got these flax foods. He's just, so to speak, going to buy it and pass it on to the king. So he makes all different deals with different owners or the flax deals, where he makes a deal with them that I'm going to buy all your stock. I'm going to buy all your stock. I'm going to have, you don't need to worry about any other customer. I'm your customer. And he speaks out why. Because this is a huge amount of quantity we're talking about. Normally, you don't have such a guy who buys such a little bit. He speaks out why to all the sellers, the farmers, and he says, because I got a government contract, here, look at it, and it's 4 to 5 the price. Yeah. It sounds very similar to our Shiloh with the Esrogan. He's saying, look, I'm going to do a deal, which is normally not unheard of. Because I'm going to get lots of money. Yeah. And he entices them by saying, you know what? Only give it to me, because you may be a bit worried. Only give it to me because I'm going to pay double the price. Because I'm going to get 4 to 5. I'm going to pay double the price to you. Now, that really sounds like our Esrog Shaila. So I found the Esrog Shaila in the Shaila, which was asked actually to the Nesivus himself. A Maisa Shaya with the Nesivus. So now, I would say, okay, so therefore, the Shire, what happened at the end? What happened? Obviously, in between, the king lost the war, and he just breaks up his contract. The contract's finished, and he's not interested in flax anymore. Now, this guy, Reuven, is now stuck with all his deals, which he's now put in the lurch, because he's got no one to which he's got no king to sell on. So now, what do we do over here? That's mummish like a Esrog type of case. He made a deal, an unheard of deal. He told them why he made that deal, because he's got a huge deal with the king. And he didn't actually speak it out as a Tanai, but it's implicit. That's why he's doing it. And what should be the halacha? So should we say it's a Tanai, not a Tanai? So I would say, based on what the Nesivus told us, where you have a Vadai sale, Sophic, whether the tzai is a good tzai, because you didn't speak it out properly. What's going to be the din according to the Sivas? What should be the halacha according to what he understood the Rashba and how he explained it?
Be stuck with it.
You're stuck with it. Yeah. You got a machlokas, whether this is called a tzai. You got a proper deal. You're going to have to pay. And that's what the Sivas should paskin on his own understanding of the Rashba. That's what he should paskin. So let's go and see what the actual Nesivos Paskin of this Din Torah, and we're going to have to understand why he's saying this based on what we know, what he holds. Why does he say this? So Nesivos himself says in Reish Lamed the following, V'dalti, and I Paskins, Shepotor Ruvain, who made all this deal, was Potter from pain. Wow, hold on. Hey, you told me before, it's a Sophic, and a Sophic, you're going to have to pay even if it's a Sophic. Hey, he's now, Nesivos Paskin, saying he is Potter. Why? So he explains, Chiyai Gavner, Kula Alma Motin. In such a scenario, there's no machlokas. Everyone agrees it's a good condition. Why? Because such a deal was only fitting to sell to the king. He himself can't get any benefit. Now the king has backed out. He can't get any benefit from this, these flax fields, which he's made the deal with, because everything's cheap now. He's not going to make any profit on it. Therefore, he's potter with a shalom. So it's clearly he's potter from pay. The whole deal doesn't exist. Everyone agrees. Because the flax is only worth half its value. It's half its value of what he could have got before. It's like you bought something which you now find out you were done in. You were made a mockery and you overpaid, which is called the halacha of onar. And onar breaks up the deal. If it's more than six, here's definitely more six. It's double the price, and therefore the deal's not a deal. Look, kulam. Now, those are the words of Nesivos. What does he mean? Before we understood that you got a sale, you want to know when you don't speak out of condition, is it actually a condition? He said it's a machlokas, and we understood when you have you got a deal and it's a sophic tonight, we said you have to pay. Here he's saying, kulam amoda, that the deal's finished. It's not a machlokas. Now, he gave words over there. I just read them and translated them. I didn't really explain the words to you. Mm-hmm. And I want you to understand to me why here there's no machlokas between Rabbeinu Hanan and Rabbeinu. Everyone agrees the deal's finished. It's not a shaila if it's a Tanai Nox. It's for sure doesn't exist, the deal. Why over here does the deal doesn't exist and therefore it's poshut, not machlokas. The deal's blown up and therefore he doesn't need to pay. Why? Says Tuli wants to answer straight away. Go on.
Because here, Beis Din will basically provide an anan sadi, and we'll say it's a ketznai. We all agree it's a ketznai. There's no, you don't have to even say, you know, I mean, we had to say it so we had the information, but you don't need a star, you don't need to write it out. We all agree there's no other possible way anyone would do this without this being a ketznai.
So when is the machlokas between Rabbeinu Chanan and Rabbeinu? You were saying Rabbeinu Chanan have the machlokas.
There are other ways.
Say something, and you don't know if it's a condition. Here you're saying everyone agrees there's a condition. What's the difference?
The lashon he used was that he would own, the king is the only possible person that would buy this, meaning there's a unique situation here that can't be replicated. Masha'inkin, other times, maybe yes, maybe no. So we there's no anan sadi, but here where there's only one possible way for it to work, we jump in, Beis Din jumps in and gives the tie to him.
But that was not the language that was used. In the very beginning, as the Dayan was explaining, the fellow came in, the buyer came in, he said, I don't want you to deal with other buyers. So there were buyers. He could still sell it, but he offered
a quarter of the price.
Let me finish. And he offered double the price. Not that he couldn't sell it. And because he offered the double price, he was giving a message, I'm sure this deal will go through. Anyway, I'm taking the risk.
Those extra words of Tully are not necessarily true. He's just,
what?
He's saying, I'm so sure this is going to make me millions. Often people have huge imaginations. And he had an imagination that he's going to be the richest guy in Europe. So he comes to the guy and says, I'm buying all your flats at double the price. Because I bought a done signed contract for the government. What could be better and secure? I've got this. And that's why I'm doing something with Meshuggah, because it's not Meshuggah, because I'm going to be a killing over here. I'm sure of it. Now, it doesn't mean he's witnessing anything a Christ. He's just saying, I've got nothing to worry about. This is a life. What's a lifetime opportunity? Okay. Well, in my mind, I'm telling you that I'm not the sugar. This is why I'm doing this. Okay. That's the case of the Nesivos. Very similar to the Esrog case. And on that, he's saying, Esrog, the Nesivos, here is the machlokus between Rabbeinu Chanan and Rabbeinu Yonah. And the words of Tully, everyone agrees you got a Tanai here. There wouldn't be discussion over here. Now, what's the reasoning? Tully threw out words which are very accurate, very accurate. And I just want to see what Eric said, because Eric printed something over there. Just read me out what Eric said, and then I'll...
Eric wrote, how could it be Onah if it was all the buyer's initiative?
Okay. So this is part of Tully's answer as well. We'll help Eric. What the Nesivos is basically saying is, yeah, it was the buyer's initiative. And at the time, it wasn't Onah. It wasn't Onah at the time because he knows what he's doing. He's saying, look, I know the price. I'm going to pay you double. I know I'm Meshuggah and I'm paying you double, but I'm not Meshuggah because I could get 4 or 5 government contracts already in my hands. So nothing Onah at the time. What happened was the government broke their words and there's no way of rectifying that. He broke the contract. Even though it's a solid contract, he broke it. He had the king, and so now he's left in the lurch. Now the wording of the Nesivos is it comes out Lemafreya. Retrospectively, it comes out it was or not, because now I've got no deal to say that I would have entered into this because now I'm Taka Meshuggah. No one would buy the flats at this price and this quantity if you haven't got a deal, and I haven't got a deal. So I'm afraid I have no deal. And therefore, I'm afraid I didn't realize I'm a Meshuggah. I thought I wasn't a Meshuggah. I took it, I'm a Meshuggah. It's nothing to do with it being a tnai.
It's not even a tnai.
If he didn't say anything, it would still be batel.
So that's the discussion now, which is the Chabur discussion. Is it that the reason why everyone agrees now is because it's Onah, which is what Stephen is telling us over here, that it's Onah, and that's why it ends up being Onah at the end of it. Or is the reason like the wording of Tully that everyone agrees this is a Tanai now, and it blew it up? Is the reason why the deal blew up because of Tanai or because of Onah? That's the discussion here between our group over here.
Let me ask you something. How can it possibly be an Onah when this is a special type of product that only one person wants? It's like land. It's like anything else that's unique. And therefore, Onah should not apply.
The goods are not unique. Each farmer is not a unique good, and he sells it according to it. What's not unique is the actual scenario wasn't unique, not the goods. The goods wasn't unique. That doesn't change Onah. If it's not only if it's the goods is unique, there's no din of Onah. Yeah, not if the scenario and situation which made you do that, well, that wouldn't make an Onah in such a case. So what's the reasoning? Is it the reasoning Onah or goes a bit on Mecca? So if you look at the Loshon and the Nesivos, he says,
he uses the Lashon Onah Mafreya, but
he says Onofa. Now, what's he using the Lashon Onah Mafreya? Is he using Onah Mafreya to prove that it's obviously a Tanai? Or is he using Onah Mafreya to say that's why the deal's no good?
No.
So that's the two ways which your Chabura are reading out of here. So I haven't got all the wording in the Nesivos over there. I'm inviting you to look at the wording in the Nesivos in Siman Resh Lamed. I remember from the wording of the whole Nesivos, it's a quite a big piece over there. It comes out, it's very good what Stephen said, but it comes out what Tully interpretation comes out, that wording in the Nesivos over there, it works out. From these actual words, you can learn two ways. But the whole wording over there, it comes out that because no one in their right mind would do such a deal, because it's definitely Onah Mafreya, and like Eric says, you knew what yourself you're getting into, So you can't really call it Onar just because things changed afterwards. So Onar was only at the time, and at the time it was okay. So you can't really be called Onar. But Onar Mafreya means that retrospectively, we know he's a he would never do this. Obviously, it's a Tanai. It's obviously a Tanai that I'm only doing this, and it's only not Onar because I've got this king over here. If I don't have this king, then the whole deal's not us. And therefore, Kula Alma Motim over here that it is a Tanai because it's obvious that this is everyone's totally on the king over here. It's not like there's possibility of a king, there's possibility of another guy, and therefore, even though you mentioned the king, it could be someone else as well, and therefore, maybe it's a Tanai, maybe not. Here, everyone knows this is a deal just for the king. So if everyone knows just for the king, of course there's a Tanai, and of course it blows up the Kula Alma. Even Rabbeinu Chanan and Rabbeinu Yonah would agree here, there's a Tanai built in, because it's obvious there's no other explanation over here for doing such a stupid thing. And therefore, it's obviously dependent on this. And if you don't have it, it blows up the Kula Alma. That's the pastures, like what Tully say for the wedding. Even on this specific wedding, you could fit in like what Stephen said. But if you read all of the Stephen's, that sounds like over there. So we've got a Chiddush over here, where it's obvious from the story that this is the only reason why you're doing it, then everyone agrees it's a Tanai, no machlokas, obviously the deals are no good deal. So therefore, the Beistin Paskins, I just tell you what the Pesach of the Beistin, in the case of the Esrogim, there's no explanation of why he's paying double the Esrogim, no one does that. It can only be what he said, because I'm Monopoly. It's obvious that it's therefore a condition and not a machlokas. And therefore, obviously, the deal is blown up, and the Esrogim is not a deal at the end of the day, and the buyer doesn't need to buy it. That's the suck of the Esrogim, that the buyer of the Esrogim doesn't need to buy it, because it's obvious there is a condition of being a monopoly, and there's no monopoly, so the deal's not a good deal.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Tully first, and then Matzis. Go ahead, Tully.
Can I say something?
Oh, sorry, not Tully. Sorry. Menachem.
I'm the oldest one over here.
Reb Menachem, you're not only the oldest, you're the most choshev, you're the Cohen. No, go ahead. This is another Cohen out there.
You embarrassed me. Okay, anyway, I forgot what I was going to ask.
Oh, no, Menachem, you forgot. We'll get there. Maybe Matzis.
Yes. No, I remember now. It just
came. Okay, go ahead.
Basically, what you understand the Beis Din is saying is that everyone, meaning not everyone on the Beis Din, and not every lawyer or ex-lawyer or dayan, but you're talking about a buyer and a seller. Every one of them knows that this is a Tanai.
Correct. Well,
that's
correct.
That's a very strange conclusion, because I know the seller. I met the seller. The seller never went to school. All he did all his life is to plant and gather and sell. How is he supposed to know that this is a Tanai, and when I give it over, it's a risk?
Look, people, he's not just a farmer, he's a businessman as well. And in the business world, understands such a story, scenario, deal being offered is definitely a part of the condition. It's obvious, balabachish svara out there, that of course you're buying this and you wouldn't do this bechlau unless you're a monopoly or unless you have the king's contract. And it's just balabachish svara, nothing to do with being based in halacha, dayonis, tom rabbini, lawyer, nothing to do with that. You're a businessman, this is what a businessman. If you're not even a businessman, then you shouldn't even be in it, and you won't be lasting. A guy who's not a businessman doesn't last in the business of selling flax or the selling Esrogim for many years. He's finished after two. A farmer has to also be a businessman. And if he's not, he gets his wife to be the businessman, or he gets somebody who's qualified as a businessman to do these deals and make himself money. If he hasn't, then he's not in business, Bukhar. And we're talking about a highly sophisticated, highly sophisticated market called Esrogim. We're talking about big business guys who make lots of money, lots of deals, make cheshbonos. And we're talking about guys who know what's going out and how to protect themselves in the world. And everyone's obvious in such a scenario that there's a built-in Tanai, it blows up. But I'm sure Matis wants to say something, because it's not exactly the final Pesach in that case, Esrogim. And I'm sure Matis, what he's going to say, will help us get to the final Pesach in this particular case. Go on, Matus.
Wow.
I'm not so sure, but we'll try.
Nice intro.
I think that irrespective of the Nesivo, I'm assuming this is a case that happened in recent years, not like hundreds of years.
Yeah, right? Is recent years. Obviously, Nesivo's case himself was not recent years. Yeah.
So there is a reason why you cannot base your psak today on what the Nesivo said. And that is because there's a current minig out there that the sale you're describing, where the person returns it if he doesn't sell it, is called consignment. So there's two kinds of sale. There's a consignment sale and there's a regular sale. And
It's definitely not a consignment sale. I'm returning it because the sale was a proper sale, which blew up. That's not a consignment sale.
When I say I can return it if I don't get to sell it, that's a consignment sale.
No, that consignment sale means...
Let me finish.
I know what you mean.
Let me finish my question.
Yeah, you can finish. Go ahead. It's not consignment.
Okay. So there's two, and Minag HaMadina, there's two kinds of sales. There's the consignment sale.
Yes. With the risk, and it worked differently. And there's the non-consignment sale with the buyers. This is not consignment sale. It ends up being like a consignment sale, but it's not consignment sale. The contract wasn't a consignment. I'm going to buy everything I sell, and I don't want to sell. I'm returning. It's not written like that.
Can I finish asking the question?
Go ahead.
Okay. So there's two kinds of sales out there. There's a consignment sale.
No introduction.
And there's the non-consignment. Look at Tully.
Okay.
The non-consignment sale where the risk is the buyers. You can't have anything else. Those are the two kinds of sales.
Unless there's a condition. You can't have it.
Condition is a consignment. When I say I can return it, that is a consignment sale.
If I say that I'm buying this, but if it's going to rain, blue rain on Tuesday or next week, then the deal's off, and you agree, then it's nothing to do with consignments. It's to do with there's a condition there which could blow up the whole deal. That's called a tonight. I don't specify that I have the right to return it.
I think that's the clear minig out there.
Okay. I gave the wrong introduction, but okay. I admit I'm wrong quite often. Okay. Yeah. Baruch wanted to say something from the beginning. He's been waving his hands. Let's let Baruch say something, and then we'll wrap it up a bit tonight. Yeah.
So he can return it. That's great. So the shipment, the half that comes back before Rosh Hashanah, now the buyer has a chance to do something with it. But what the stuff that comes back 2 days before Yantav?
I thought you were Matzus. And then it's Baruch. Baruch says the real Pesach. Okay. So let me just speak out the real Pesach, and then we'll get the small question.
As a umdina as well, but he's not going to receive it back.
So therefore, quite a few weeks ago, Menachem mentioned this. So it's Torah from Menachem Baruch over here and Shmuel, all coming with the slight adaption to the psalm. Yeah.
Everyone says Matis.
Yeah. Of course. Now, so what's the psalm? Everyone agrees it's a condition. Everyone agrees the deal's off. But you can't damage the seller. There's a second stage. You can't damage the seller, which Rabbi Nachman is a lawyer, always. No, fixed it. The other day, okay, the sale's off, but you can't damage him. When did the buyer return it? He earned certain parts of the goods he returned, 10 days before Rosh Hashanah. It's quite an early return to be able to use those goods, the seller himself, to resell it. And in fact, the seller had customers to sell it, and he did resell it. The whole discussion, really, in the Din Torah was in the consignment, which was turned 2 days before Yontif. Since they said, look, 2 days before Yontif, useless, I can't do anything with it. And that was accepted by the Beis Din. You can't, even if you break up the deal, you can't break up the deal in a fashion that damages the seller. And therefore, those goods which were turned too late, they were too late to the seller to be able to do anything with it, that the buyer had to buy, and he had to buy according to the price that won't damage the seller under those circumstances. So that's the adaption to the psak. That is a stage of, yes, it blows up the deal, definitely a tanai, but you have to make sure that there's no damage involved, and therefore the seller didn't have to suffer the loss of the second consignments that the buyer had to accept as his responsibility of payment over there for damages, a claim of damages in such a case.
Why isn't that a grama?
Because it's not. It's more like a gami in such a case. That's considered in the category of gami, and negligence in returning it such late fashion in such a case. Otherwise, you did the first lot already 10 days before, and you should have done everything over there. So over there, that was accepted in the basin of that. We're running out of time, and therefore, to see what the conclusion of the loan case, we'll see next week, and we'll go into our corona cases from there, which are connected to that. Mr. Sheb, have a wonderful week, and beautiful to be back with all of you. Have a shu'tov, and keep healthy, everyone, and get your vaccine so we can be all together and enjoy ourselves company in such a
case. How's your father-in-law?
Baruch Hashem, my father-in-law is now getting better. He's off oxygen, and he's Baruch Hashem getting stronger at the moment. Okay, have a shu'tov.
Yes. Shu'tov.